This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Have you ever noticed, and you probably have, that there is a one-word question that seems to be on a constant loop off the lips of little children? It's a one-word question that if you're a parent, you know exactly what that one-word question is. It's a question that gets repeated and repeated and repeated until it wears you down and breaks your spirit. Of course, that one-word question is, why? Why? And in the history of all humanity, I'm pretty sure of this, there has never, ever been one child who, after receiving an adequate response from their parent or an adult that they trust, has ever said, oh, that sounds reasonable. Thank you so much for sharing it with me. Typically what happens is there's just another why that comes on the back of that. So, for example, when our kids were little, there would be conversations in our home that would go similar to this. They go, oh, Daddy, can I go outside and play? And I'd say, oh, no, you can't. I'm sorry. Why? Well, there's a big storm outside. You can see that. There's rain coming down. It's torrential, and there's lightning, and there's thunder. Why? Well, because look, there's water coming out of the sky, and the electricity zaps. Why? Well, because there's clouds. Why? Well, clouds are formed by water vapor coming around particles of dust, and lightning is an electrical discharge caused by imbalances between clouds or the clouds in the ground. Why? Oh, I don't know. That's all the stuff that I know about these things. That's it. That's all I've got for you. Why? Because Daddy's stupid. Daddy doesn't know anything more. The truth is out there now. Your old man is dopey. That's it. Why? Because I didn't pay enough attention in school because I was exhausted all the time. Why? Well, I was playing basketball 6 days a week and I was training and doing all this hard stuff. And by the end of that, I was just exhausted every single day, so I didn't pay attention like I should have. Why? Because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be part of the crew. I changed schools when I was in year six and I didn't know anybody. And I wanted to fit in. I wanted to feel loved and valued and accepted. And I was a 13-year-old who was having an existential crisis. Mom, can you come here, please? Daddy's rocking in the corner. And then Carol would call out, why? And conversations like that would be happening at home. Maybe those same sort of conversations happen in your home as well. But I think as adults, sometimes we try to suppress the why questions, but they're still there. And we might laugh at little children at the amount of times that they ask the why question. But oftentimes as adults, we've got those same questions as well, particularly at the moment, right? Why COVID? Why another lockdown? Why can't I visit my aging parents? Why are we tripping over one another at home, doing online, doing work from home, doing school from home, doing fitness at home, doing shopping at home? Why? What's the point of all this? Why are you allowing this, God? Over the past few months, I've been spending a bit of time engaging with the wilderness stories of the Bible. In particular, I want to say that I've been greatly helped in this pursuit by a guy called Dr. Jack Beck. He's an American guy, and he's an author and also does a number of videos in partnership with Our Daily Bread, and he's provided some great insights that's helped me along this journey of exploring a whole lot of the wilderness stories from the Bible, of which there are many. Probably the most well-known are Israel's 40 years in the wilderness, moving from Egypt into the Promised Land, and also Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism. They're probably the best-known wilderness stories, but there are lots of others as well. Pastor Lewis, last week, shared with us a wilderness story, didn't he? And that was the story of Elijah being fed by the ravens by the brook there in the ravine. And that was, I've got to say, that was a brilliant message. If you haven't watched that message yet or listened to it, go to our church website, the audio files there, and that was just a cracker of a message. But it was a wilderness story, wasn't it? And I don't know about you, but at the moment it feels like this is a bit of a wilderness time for us. Now, we need to be careful. The wilderness experience of Israel for 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, drinking water from the rock and being fed by manna from heaven is very different to our wilderness experience. Our wilderness experience is from the comfort of our own home with Woolworths Click and Collect and Netflix on the television. But equally, this seems to be a time when people are facing financial, relational, emotional, educational challenges that are real. It can feel a bit like a wilderness. It feels disorienting. Even though we did this a whole lot last year, it still feels quite disorienting. In fact, I've been talking recently with some counselor friends of mine, and they're saying to me that this time around in lockdown, it is different. There seems to be heightened levels of anxiety, heightened levels of people feeling kind of disoriented in the wilderness. And we ask the question, much like our kids do, why? Why are you allowing this to happen, Lord? I had other things planned. My life was heading in this direction, but because of this virus, now it's heading in that direction. How are you redeeming this situation to bring good out of it? What are you wanting to show me? And as I've been reflecting on these questions, and indeed asking them myself, much like you have as well, I've kept coming back to the wilderness stories. And in particular, Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses provides some really helpful reflections. Now, the context here is important. The context is important. Moses in Deuteronomy 8 is nearing the end of his life. For the first 40 years of his life, he spent that as a prince of Egypt. The next 40 years was spent as a shepherd in the Midianite wilderness, tending his father-in-law's sheep. And the final 40 years was spent leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and to the threshold of the promised land. And when Moses is speaking in Deuteronomy 8, he's now speaking as an older man. He's speaking right at the end of that 120-year run. This is a person who has spent two-thirds of his life in the wilderness. And now he's providing some very personal but very insightful reflections on where is God in the wilderness? What does God do in the wilderness? If you've got a Bible handy there, you might want to turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. So here's the context. The people are gathered around Moses, and in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 to 3, he says this. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. When we read so many wilderness stories in the Bible, we regularly see that God is at work in a different way in the wilderness to what he does during the good times. There seems to be some lessons, some principles, some teaching that God brings to the person, brings to a group in the wilderness that is different to in the good times when life seems to be going exactly as we thought that it might. And in particular from Deuteronomy 8, there are three principles that Moses highlights here about what God does in the wilderness. And maybe one or two, maybe three, are going to find resonance in your heart as well today. The first thing, in the wilderness, God humbles us. In the wilderness, God humbles us. It says, God, in verse 2, God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you. As you read the scriptures, it actually becomes very obvious very quickly that one of the things that God hates is arrogance, pride. Arrogance was the motivation behind the fall in Genesis 3, in fact, in the scriptures, on three occasions, once in the Old Testament and twice in the New Testament, it actually says there that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, in the scriptures, we read of God not approving of certain attitudes or behaviors, but here, when it comes to pride, when it comes to arrogance, God actually goes on the front foot. And he says, I oppose the proud. I oppose the proud, but give grace to the humble. The children of Israel had come out of a context in Egypt that actively promoted arrogance. Egypt was a wonderful place to live in. The Nile provided plenty of food and water, and back then as today, Egypt was known for its grand human accomplishments. The pyramids, temples proclaimed how great this nation was. In fact, some authors have said that it only took God a few weeks to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. To get that perhaps the pride and the hubris of Egypt out of the children of Israel. And God did that in the wilderness. Because in the wilderness, your number one goal is surviving. You don't have time for boasting or ego. In fact, as I was preparing for this morning, just as an aside, I've been having a number of conversations lately with people where it seems like the goal right now is just surviving. With two main groups, those who are living on their own, particularly those who are elderly living on their own, and also young families. I'm hearing this regularly from those who are living on their own and those who are struggling as young families, where the goal right now just seems to be surviving. I want to know I'm hearing you. And I think moreover, God hears you as well, that this can be a season of isolation, of loneliness. And I want to encourage us as a church to be those who, as we've said the last few weeks, to proactively reach out to those who are by themselves right now. A call, a FaceTime, whatever it might be, a Zoom, whatever you can do to be a blessing to those who are on their own at the moment. And equally for our young families, I want to say that I believe that God will honor the investment that you are making in the lives of your kids. And I hear very clearly that you're tripping over one another at home and your kids are trying to, utilize laptops or iPads or whatever it is for their schooling. And mum and dad are trying to make sure they got bread on the table because they got to work. And so they're working out at home and it's getting crazy right now. And the goal is survival. There may be some stuff that God's going to teach us in this season, where the goal right now sometimes for some can seem just like survival. There's a second thing that God does in the wilderness. In the wilderness, God tests us. In verse 2 it says, to test you in order to know what was in your heart. God had a question for Israel throughout the 40 years in the wilderness. And I believe that it's the same question he asks of us today. And the question is this: will you trust me? Will you trust me? When life looks very different to what you'd hoped, when you are facing challenges that you never expected, when you are not where you want to be, will you trust me? Now for Israel, their response perhaps wasn't the greatest. In Numbers chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, we actually get their collective answer to that question of, will you trust me? Numbers chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, they sound like the little kid. And they go, why? Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs or grapevines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. Will you trust me, says God? No, says Israel. No, we're not going to trust you. We either want to be in the promised land or back in Egypt, but we don't want to be here in the wilderness. This is horrible. Will you trust me? In the wilderness, God tests us. And here's the thing with the test from God. It's not like God doesn't know the answer already. It's not like, if Craig is being tested and there's, my paper gets submitted and God checks it off and goes, oh, Corkill, 65%. Oh, that's surprising. Now, God doesn't get surprised. What the testing does is it actually reveals to us the state of our heart. See, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Oftentimes, we can think we trust God. We go, yes, God, I sing the songs about faith. And yes, God, I say that I trust in you. We're all good. But it's not until the times of wilderness come when the deceitfulness of our heart can get stripped away and reveal the true state of what's actually going on, of whether we actually trust God. Scriptures say that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without actually trusting in Him, it's impossible to please God. And I don't know about you, I want to be a person who pleases God. And from time to time, that's going to mean that there are tests that are going to come my way, and they're going to come your way as well, and they're actually going to demonstrate the true state of our heart. I know that for me, speaking personally, last year was a time of great testing on multiple levels. We had all sorts of stuff going on as a family with some challenges with our extended family. There was all the COVID challenges that were affecting us as a church. It was a time of great testing last year. And what I found, again, being completely honest, what I found last year is that, like, coming out of 2019 into 2020, I would have said, yes, I'm a person of faith. I trust God. And yet what I found last year, there were corners of my life that needed some refining. There were parts of who I was that I wasn't handing over to God. There was times of great frustration that I was experiencing last year when I sounded probably more like Israel in Numbers chapter 20. Why did you bring me into this place, Lord God? And I've lost count of the amount of times I sat in our study at home and in prayer was pouring out my heart to God saying, all right, God, I'm going to trust you in this. In fact, one of the key verses for me last year, it said, trust in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. And that became almost like a verse that I kept coming back to over and over and over again. Trust in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. And I said, Lord, that's going to be my motto for 2020. And in the midst of the testing last year, there was a refining that happened. And maybe for you as well. Maybe for you as well, this time in the wilderness is a time of testing. Not that God needs to see the final mark on the paper, but rather it's actually going to reveal to you the state of your own heart, much like it did for me. Well, there's a third thing that God does in the wilderness, and that is, in the wilderness, God teaches us. In verse 3, at the beginning of verse 3 there, it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. Now, did you catch the order of those things? God didn't provide the food before they got hungry. He waited until their wilderness hunger had built up, and then he provided food for them miraculously. And sometimes God's provision is not in the timing that we'd like. Have you ever noticed that? It frustrates the living daylights out of me sometimes. And I know from conversations with plenty of people here at Narara, you've noticed the same thing. That sometimes it seems like God's provision is at the 11th hour, at the very last minute when he could. That's when God comes through. There have been so many times when I said to the Lord, you couldn't have done that like 3 weeks ago. You couldn't have provided that 6 months ago. You had to wait until the 11th hour to do that. But in the midst of it, God is teaching us why. Why does he do that? Well, have a look at the back half of verse 3. It says, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, to cause you to trust him, to trust God's word. Do you remember the other time we read those words? It's when Jesus is in his wilderness experience after his baptism. Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days, and that's when Satan comes and starts to test him. And one of those tests, Satan says to Jesus, he says, hey, see those stones there? Why don't you turn them into bread? And Jesus quotes this exact passage, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. To trust God for his provision, to trust God that from the word of his mouth that he would action his will and his provision. You see, in the wilderness, it appears to lack everything. It lacks water, it lacks grain, it lacks food. And day after day, the people of Israel who lived in the wilderness, they got this grain substitute called manna, which they could form into their bread. But God spoke, and from his words came provision. And he did that to teach his people, I am trustworthy. I'm trustworthy. And so here's the thing. Yes, our wilderness experience is different to Moses and the children of Israel. But I wonder in the midst of the challenges that we are facing at the moment, that you and I are going through right now, I wonder if the Lord could be redeeming that situation in your life and in mine as he humbles us, as he tests us, and as he teaches us. So let me be straight up with you this morning. Are there some rough edges of self-reliance and pride that maybe God is challenging you with in this season of wilderness? How are you answering the Lord's question in the testing times? Will you trust me? How are you answering that? And do you have eyes to see and ears to hear the things that God is teaching you at the moment? What are they? What are the things that God is teaching you? Maybe it is that he is trustworthy. Maybe he's teaching you about his love for you. Maybe he's teaching you about how to be a blessing to others in the community. I don't know what it is, but what is God teaching you at the moment? Do you have eyes to see it? Do you have ears to hear what he is teaching you? Is your heart soft to learn from him? Or like the children of Israel in Numbers 20, are you just so preoccupied going, why, that you don't hear the still small voice of God? I want to give us a few moments just of quietness where we can bring these things before the Lord and ask him, Lord, what are you saying to me at the moment in the wilderness? What are you saying to me? Are you humbling me? Are you testing me? Are you teaching me? What are you saying right now? Let's bow together in prayer, shall we? Just a few moments of quietness. I trust that it might be quiet at your place where you can bring these things before God. Lord Jesus, last year and this year certainly didn't turn out like many of us had hoped. And as you are well aware, we find ourselves in a lockdown situation again. And Lord, for many of us as well, we ask the question, why? And I pray that from today, that from Moses' words, that you begin to give us revelation and insight as to maybe what you are doing in our lives. Lord, your word says that you oppose the proud but give grace to the humble. And Lord, as we humble ourselves before you, I pray that we would experience that grace. Lord, we take you at your word and ask that you would pour out grace into our lives, not that we would become a reservoir of that grace, but rather we would be a river of that grace. That we would be a river of grace to our families, particularly to our kids and our spouse. Lord, that we would be a river of grace to those in our street and in our community. Give grace to the humble. Lord, for those of us who feel like this is a bit of a testing time, where not that you are getting a final paper that you have to mark, because you already know the state of our hearts, but where we get increased revelation about what is actually the state of our heart right now. God, I thank you for the reality check that wilderness brings. And Lord, I ask again that you would teach us. And I think, Lord, that there will be different lessons for different people in the midst of all this. But that this would be a season of wilderness where you teach us more of who you are and more of what you have for our lives. Continue to lead us on, Lord, even in the wilderness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.